This is a piece of music that Joseph Lindsley sent us from Lviv. Joseph, tell us about this song.
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon. I just discovered this song yesterday. It's a new song from a duo, a girl from Lithuania and another one from Lviv. And the Ukrainian woman, Ira, she's a refugee now in the capital of Lithuania. And they released this song, War is Not a Pop Song. It's sort of a protest anthem, but when I saw the video, I was struck by it. It has this 1980s, almost kind of punk protest vibe to it. And the two girls in the music video have painted smiles in their faces, hiding their real emotions. And I love the sound of it. But also there was a real, you can hear the pain and the agony also at the same time. And so I wrote to BL, she's from Lithuania, yesterday, and I asked her, you know, why did you make the song? And she said her Ukrainian friend from Lviv, she realized when she was outside of Ukraine, she had to adapt to the states of people in other countries in order to tell them about the war. She felt that she had to suppress her own emotions in order to really say what was happening in this war. And so they made this song to highlight the absurdity of Russia's war against Ukraine. But also to it was the best way they could find to show this, like, you could put on a good face, but still be suffering immensely. And that's so much of what I've seen with people, even, you know, in cities like Dnipro or Kharkiv, and not so much in Kharkiv, there's not happy faces there, but in a lot of places around Ukraine, people seem to be going about their lives, but there's a lot of deep suffering underneath. And if you go to Ukrainian Freedom News, I posted the video where you can really get the power of it. And under that video, I have an interview with a friend who's a world-renowned jazz trumpeter. He's from the city of Dnipro. And we also speak about these same ideas. How do you make art? How do you be creative in wartime? And he tells a story of how he couldn't play music the first 3 months of the war. And it was only when his cousin died in battle, to whom he was very close, that he began to play music. He said, I realize I have to use my trumpet as a weapon to help people with their emotions so they can keep their strength.
Have to check that out, UkrainianFreedomNews.com. I know you had some thoughts when you were watching the news about King Charles in Northern Ireland, and also everybody keeps playing back the video of when the Queen was there. And how did you relate that to your situation there in Ukraine?
Yeah, I was thinking about this also, as you know, as an Irishman. My family's about Irish and from the southwest of Ireland, and I grew up learning so much of the struggle of the Irish people for freedom. And for centuries, the British, as part of the British Empire, banned the Irish language and tried to destroy Ireland. And there was it took a long time for the Irish to get their liberty. And there was obviously a lot of animosity. I see so many parallels with that and the Ukrainian struggle against Imperial Moscow, against Soviet Moscow, and now against Putin. But there was a moment in 2011 when Queen Elizabeth II, she traveled to Dublin, the first British monarch to go to Ireland since Ireland's independence in the 1920s. And she was speaking to the president and the parliament and leaders of Ireland, and she addressed them in the Irish language. And the Irish president at the time, Mary Robinson, I think, she was overcome. She had tears in her eyes. And it was such, in just a few words, by speaking this language that Queen Elizabeth's ancestors had tried to destroy, Queen Elizabeth was able to create a healing moment between Ireland and the UK. And so there was a real example of leadership. And watching that, I said, you know, could we ever imagine some, you know, I don't know, 50 years from now, sometime in the future, a future leader of whatever might be left of Russia at that time, coming to Ukrainian Kyiv, and bowing as the Queen did. She bowed before the Irish freedom fighters who fought the British, bowing before some memorial to Ukrainians, and then speaking the Ukrainian language in Kyiv. And that's something to hope for. But I think that there's even with the parallels between the British and the Russians through the centuries, that there's a huge difference. And that's, the British still had some sense of decency and culture. And Russia, and this is such a common conversation here, you can filter it however you like, but everything we see from the Russians, that especially since 1917, they've only been destroying. And we see these stories of, as you hear stories of from people who are in the occupied territories that have recently been liberated, the Russian soldiers are so surprised to find, even in small villages in Ukraine, that people have indoor plumbing. They don't even have this in so many places in Russia. So I just caution, while there are some parallels between, you know, the British Empire and Russia, I think there's a lot of big difference.
Well, we can hope. Since we were talking about music today, Joseph, let me close by sharing an email we got from one of our listeners. Good morning, Bob. Joseph's recent story of the Ukrainian standing on the rubble of his childhood home triggered an image of sadness and reminded me of Madonna's song, "This Used to Be My Playground." The lyrics match the tragic reality in Ukraine. Tell Joseph we're keeping Ukraine in our thoughts and prayers and kick some Russian butt.
Wow. Well, I will pass it on to my friend. And as you were reading those words, in my mind, I saw a playground that I saw in Kharkiv, not far from that scene, and overgrown with weeds and rubble. That's exactly the image.
Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. Thank you, Joseph, and we'll connect tomorrow. Be safe.
Thank you, Bob.